Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and I'm so encouraged by Pastor Daniel's message last week. Man, what a great Resurrection Sunday. What a powerful word. Amen. Man, we're being changed. I love the revelation from the book of Acts and seeing the power of God, the resurrection power of Christ. But I want to encourage you, and to me, for me, what is probably one of the most quintessential aspects of our relationship with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, are you ready? Let's read together. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men keep watch with me for one more hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me, let it be taken away unless I drink it. May your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, that we may be changed by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. For Lord, it is the work of your Spirit that breaks every yoke of bondage. Lord, it is the work of your Spirit that brings transformation to our lives. It is the power of your word that changes us. Lord, let us not simply be hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves. Let us be doers also. And I pray that now upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is Watch and Pray. Watch and pray. Look at that person next to you and say, watch and pray. You know, growing up in our church, there is an incredibly strong prayer culture in Kings. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call just a few months ago from a friend of mine that was at a conference, this big, massive pastor's conference, thousands of people there, and he said that the guest speaker got up and was preaching on prayer and began to use Dr. Morocco as the example of a church, as an organization that prays, as a pastor that prays. It's the history of this church in the area of prayer and the discipline of prayer in this house is world-renowned. It is the foundational piece of this church that I truly believe is that which has sustained us for 43 years. And prayer is essential as a church. It's essential in our personal lives. But there's an aspect of prayer that we have to be mindful of, and we see very clearly here in this passage in Matthew 26. It's an urgency to watch and pray. So as a kid growing up in this culture, I remember as a youth pastor, my dad would encourage me, "Son, you need to be at early morning prayer." And he'd always say these words, "Son, leaders lead." And so I would try to wake up early, to go to early morning prayer, and I'm telling you, it did not work. It was so rough. Can I tell you, it was rugged. And see, on Maui, our early morning prayer time is at 6 o'clock. Over here, you guys are blessed, man. It's at 7. It's a whole hour you get to sleep in. But prayer is still prayer. Amen. Prayer is still prayer. No one's here criticizing anybody. You know what I'm saying? It's just prayer is still prayer. But what ends up happening is he would always challenge me, "Son, you need to pray." And I said, "Well, Dad, I'm a youth pastor and I'm up late at night and I'm hanging out with the youth all the time and I'm trying, Dad, I'm trying." Until one day, my dad comes to me and he says, "Son, you will prioritize what's important." See, it wasn't a sleeping problem. It was a priority problem. And until I could make prayer a priority, I would minimize it in my life. Whatever you prioritize in your life will take the utmost importance in your life. Jesus says this statement to his disciples. He says, disciples, I need you to watch and to pray. Everybody say that with me. What? Watch and, one more time, really loud. Watch, pray. The word watch in the Greek means to be present, to be watchful with expectation. To be watchful with expectation, to be actively watching. And what's so interesting about this moment, I truly believe that there's an emphasis here put on the role of the flesh that contends against the activity of the spirit. Because Jesus says, look, the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but you've got to contend against the flesh. And if we're going to be people that watch and pray, we have to realize that there is a constant battle of the flesh and the spirit going on in our life. Because can I tell you right now, my flesh loves to sleep. So Jesus in this confronts certain areas of our life. We have to deal with complacency. Sometimes we become very complacent. We become preoccupied with things. And again, prayer loses its importance, which makes it lose its priority in our life. But I also believe, as I've talked with many theologians regarding this passage, and it's very interesting because there are many theologians that truly believe that a spirit of sleep, as an attack of the enemy, knowing the importance of the moment, that there is an attack of the enemy, and the enemy caused a spirit of slumber to come upon the disciples in that moment. Interesting. I think a lot of times one of the greatest enemies that we face in our modern day Christianity is a spirit of slumber to lull the church asleep. Because the devil understands the power and the potency of prayer. Man, I'm telling you what, the devil understands what's gonna happen and how you will supplant the enemy if you will just wake up in the morning and pray, that he will lose his grip. He will lose his power in Wasilla if there's a praying church that will come together. Because can I tell you, when you get in agreement with prayer, there is nothing that is impossible for you. So one of the weapons of the enemy is he wants to lull the church to sleep. So we have to fight against the complacency of the flesh, becoming so preoccupied by things that prayer loses its importance. We have to fight against that spirit of slumber. But there's another thing we have to fight against and contend against, is discouragement and disappointment. I don't know about you, but there have been many times I've prayed for something and it didn't come about. Or it ended up coming about, but not the way I thought it was going to come about. Or it didn't come about the time that I wanted it to come about. And it's very easy to become disappointed and discouraged in prayer. Have you ever felt like there were moments where you were praying with everything that you had and it felt like your prayers were just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back? Is God even listening to me? Because I don't feel God. I don't see God moving. Pastor, I'm so discouraged right now. If I could tell you how many times I've heard people tell me, I'm so discouraged right now in my prayer life. And you know what happens is that discouragement leads us to a place of disconnect. Discouragement has the potential to lead you to a place of disconnect. So friends, we see a very clear and apparent battle that we all face. We have to fight against the flesh. We have to fight against complacency. We have to fight against slumber. We have to fight against discouragement and disappointment. Because friends, we have to pray. We are called to pray. Prayer has to be a priority. The spirit is willing, but friends, the flesh is weak. Can I encourage you? See, a lot of times we'll make commitments to pray, but we don't make a commitment to wage war. We have to fight, we have to contend. But what we see, and I want to just deal this morning with really four things that Christ specifically deals with in this moment. Number one, we see the surrender of prayer. Everybody say the surrender of prayer. In this story, we see clearly Jesus comes before the Father and he says, Father, if this cup can pass for me, that would be awesome. Like that would be, like I'm so okay with not having to go to the cross. And then Jesus says, but not my will, but your will be done. See, prayer is surrender. What's so powerful about prayer? Prayer is not just talking to God. And friends, I know at times we've tried to dumb down prayer to make it applicable for our lives and accessible, but yet sometimes in the trying to dumb it down, we've diminished it. Because we forget the surrender of prayer. Prayer requires surrender. Jesus says, not my will, Father, but your will be done. Prayer's not just about, I want to say it this way. Prayer has nothing to do with aligning God to your will, but rather aligning our life to his. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is how you get the mind and the heart of God. In prayer. See, there's a lot of people that say a lot of crazy stuff about my dad. Right? We've been on the same island for 43 years and everybody's got an opinion. I remember this one kid telling me about how my dad drives a Porsche. I was like, man, I love my dad to drive a Porsche. But I looked at him and I said, have you seen my dad? He can't even fit in a Porsche. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And all these people have opinions, but see, this is the thing, is I know the truth because I know my dad. And as I spend time with him, I know his heart and I know his mind. Come on, I've had conversations with him. That's what's so powerful about prayer is when we pray, not only is prayer surrender, not only is prayer aligning our life and our will with God's will, but prayer is how we get his mind and his heart. In James 4:3, it says this, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. See, it's about coming into alignment with God. It's about getting his mind and his heart. We have to realize that one of the most powerful aspects of prayer is the surrender of prayer. Not necessarily just the request of prayer. Now listen, I'm not wanting to diminish the requests of prayer because the Lord actually instructs us to bring all of our prayers and petitions before him. But I truly believe that one of the most important aspects of prayer is the surrender of prayer, the alignment of prayer. Come on, somebody. But the second thing that we see very clearly is Jesus points out the urgency of prayer. The urgency of prayer. He says, be alert. Come on. Listen, disciples, I need you to pray right now because there's something about to happen. Now, you see, the problem with most of us is our urgency depends upon what we see. Right? So our urgency is all about if we see a threat coming at us, all of a sudden, it's urgent. But it's very hard to become urgent on something we don't see or something we're unaware of. And so I think there is a complacency within the disciples because they could not understand what was coming toward them. And Jesus tried to make it clear, like, guys, listen, I need you to pray. There's something about to happen and I don't want you to fall prey to the enemy. I need you to pray right now. There's an urgency, Alaska, Wasilla, Kings Wasilla, there is an urgency to pray. In 1 Peter 5:8, listen to this, are you ready? 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see the ploy of the enemy. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You see an urgency in Scripture to pray, to always be alert, to be engaged. And we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, yes, things that are coming. But friends, we have a God that is constantly working in us and through us and giving us wisdom and understanding. But there's a real devil trying to come against your destiny, trying to come against your kids, trying to come against your blessing and your purpose. And we have to fight. The times are urgent. Well, Pastor, everything's going really good right now. Like sometimes the greatest enemy of urgent is good. Everything's good right now. I'm telling you, Pastor, the building, we're meeting in the building. Everything's great. We have to live with an alertness. It helps us engage in prayer. We have to walk out of the doors of our house realizing that today I'm going to fight a real enemy. And I better make sure that I'm prepared in prayer. I better make sure I'm prayed up and I'm geared up and I'm armored up because I'm going into battle. When you walk out the doors of your house, you're not just going to your job, you're going into battle. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, you're not just going to church, you're going into battle. Because there's a real devil that doesn't want you to be here. So we have to be alert. We have to understand the surrender of prayer, the urgency of prayer. Are you ready for this? The third one is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Do you truly understand the power of prayer? I think if the church understood the power of prayer, we would probably make it even a more disciplined practice in our life. Like, prayer is powerful. Prayer is amazing. Prayer works. But I think because of discouragement and frustration, sometimes we diminish prayer in our life and we actually remove the power that prayer provides in our life because we're discouraged or we're tired or we're exhausted and we miss out on the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And if I was to tell you right now the power of prayer and help paint a picture of the power of prayer, can I tell you, friends, people are being healed. I love it how Pastor Daniel even said last week, every single week since the beginning of this church, people have been getting healed. You've been having miracles all the time. That's what should be happening. And look at the promise and the instruction that we receive through Scripture in James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The power, listen to me, the power of prayer. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love watching Alaskans gear up for the day. Now, this is probably not every Alaskan, but I've noticed it's a lot of Alaskans. And they make sure, you know, they're all ready. They put their belt on. I've noticed something very interesting about the belts of Alaskans. They're different. The belts that Alaskans wear a little different. They like cinch up. You know, mine, I've got little holes, and depending on what I ate last night is depending on what hole I'm gonna put it. But Alaskans, they cinch their belts because they have other stuff that they have to put in their belts, and they're getting geared up because I don't know if I'm gonna run into a bear today. I don't know if I'm gonna run into a criminal today. I don't know if I'm just gonna need it today. I'm an Alaskan, and I need my power tool. A Christian that doesn't pray is a powerless Christian. Can I tell you right now, a prayer life is what brings power and effectiveness to your life. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That means it works. That means that we can see miracles. That means we can see great and mighty things established in this world. That word powerful means to be strong, to have power seen by extraordinary deeds, to exert and wield power. Come on, somebody. Alaskans, I need you to join with me here. You understand what it is to exert and wield power. I was talking to somebody just the other day that shot a bear, killed a bear with a 9mm. They're my hero. And it wasn't even his 9mm, it was his wife's 9mm. I was like, dude, you are my hero. I was like, I didn't even realize a 9mm bullet could penetrate a bear's skin, man. It's like, what is going on? That's incredible. If you can understand power in that way, you can begin to understand prayer. It works. It is exerting and wielding power. Did you know in Philippians 4:13, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it is the exact same word that we see, that the strength of our mighty God is exerted through our life in every facet of our life. You have power, you have strength, but can I tell you, you activate that through a prayer life. It's effective. I love this word effective. In the Greek, it's the word energeo. It's to be at work, to aid, to display one's activity, spiritual activity. A praying people or an active people. I want you to write this down. Prayer invites the work of the Holy Spirit. Prayer invites the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Isn't it amazing that we're instructed that we can ask God for all sorts of things? If anyone lacks wisdom, you can ask God. Did you know that he even says this? How much more will I give you my spirit if you but ask? My goodness. All that we have access to simply by asking the Lord in prayer. It's an active prayer life. The activity of prayer invites the Lord to move and to work in your life. But secondly, I love this. Prayer is constantly at work. What does it mean, effective? It means that prayer is constantly at work. Some of you praying mamas, can I tell you, Pastor Daniel, your pastor is an example of prayer that's constantly at work, because he had a praying mama. And when he was out of his mind, like literally out of his mind, you think he was crazy now? You should have seen him back then. Out of his mind, his mama was praying. And you know what? Sometimes we don't see, and we get discouraged because we don't see our prayers working. We're praying for our spouse, but we don't see the change. We're praying for our kids, but we don't see the change. We constantly invest in prayer. Like, I'm praying, and finally, Lord, I'm done praying. I'm discouraged. This isn't working. But you have to realize the power of prayer. It is constantly going. The moment, by faith, you make a declaration in prayer. Lord, save my kid. Lord, save my husband. Lord, work in this way. Can I tell you, you're inviting the Lord to work in your life. You're inviting the Lord to work in their life. And there is something going on that is continuous. You may not be able to see it, but I'm telling you, change is happening because prayer, are you ready for this? The moment you prayed it, it's constantly working. Prayer is like a seed. Prayer is like a seed. You put it in the ground. I don't see it, but you water that seed. You water that seed. I think that's why we have to be persistent. That's why Jesus instructs us to be persistent in prayer, because every time you pray, you are activating faith. People say, well, Pastor, I just prayed for it one time and I should be done, right? That's it. No. Because every time you pray, it's an activation of faith regarding that which you're praying for. But let me encourage your faith. Prayer's like that seed. And it's going to produce a harvest. Don't get discouraged. Keep on praying, because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. I want you to hear this. A church that prays for miracles is a church that sees miracles. Well, now, see, you've been going to Kings, so you're like, oh yeah, duh, Pastor. Hey, hello, yeah. No, I don't think you understand, because at our church on Oahu, my wife and I have had the wonderful privilege of pastoring our church on Oahu for the last 11 years, and it's been amazing. And I'm reminded of a story of a man who came to our church, and his friend brought him to church. And that friend attends our church, and the reason he brought this man to our church is because this man was sharing with him on how he was diagnosed with throat cancer. And when he got the diagnosis of throat cancer, he went to his pastor, and his pastor refused to pray for him. And there were, see, I heard that, what? That's not even legal. The pastor refused to pray for him. And in church services, there was no opportunities to be prayed for. And so this man invites his friend. He says, well, why don't you come to my church? My pastor not only will in the service pray for you, but after the service, my pastor will pray over you and lay hands on you. And he comes to our church service. And I remember being at the altar praying for him. And he begins to share this story with me. And I begin to weep, because I realize that there are people that don't understand the power of prayer. Can I tell you, that man is completely and totally healed now. It's the power of God. Prayer works. It is powerful and effective. But can I tell you, without prayer, you will never have a powerful and effective life. A church that prays for miracles is a church that sees miracles. Let's do a review, and then I'll give you the last point. Are you ready? Number one is the surrender of prayer. Number two, the urgency of prayer. Number three, the power of prayer. Number four is our favorite word, the discipline of prayer. Prayer requires discipline. In Colossians 4:2, it says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Friends, I want you to understand something. I love to pray, and I push myself to pray. Now, let me just help you understand something. I don't enjoy waking up at 5 a.m. every morning to make it to early morning prayer. It's not something my flesh likes to do. It's something I have to do. But don't mistake my devotion for legalism. See, a lot of times we get challenged to pray. I even had a person leave my church because I challenged them to pray. And they're like, how dare you challenge me to pray? That's legalism. I said, no. I'm trying to get you to commit and to devote. In that moment when Jesus is with his disciples, he's asking them, look, I need you to display your devotion in with me in prayer right now. It's not an act of legalism. It's an act of devotion. Devote yourselves to prayer. Set it to be a part of your agenda. If something is important to you, you will put it a part of your schedule. You'll put it in your schedule. I've got to go to bed early. I had someone walk up to me and ask me, Pastor, what time do you go to bed at night? Man, after 7:30, my brain don't work anyways. I go to bed as early as I can so I can wake up for early morning prayer, because it is my priority. And I schedule in my life that which is a priority, that which is of utmost importance. That's why we have to discipline ourselves in prayer. A consistent prayer life, are you ready for this? A consistent prayer life produces consistent fruit. There's this fitness guru that goes to our church. Super irritating. And I made the mistake of asking him to help me. And I'm like, hey man, can you like coach me a little bit? And he's all, no. I was like, what are you talking about? Why wouldn't you just coach me, man? He's like, because your life's crazy, man. And if you're not willing to prioritize getting in shape, then I'm just wasting my time. Because he understood something. It's consistency that produces consistent results. Now, the reason I look the way I look, why are you laughing? You're not supposed to be laughing at me. Is because I do really good in the gym for about 2 weeks straight. Like, I'm so good in the gym, man. I'm telling you what, I get in there and I lift. I'm like, yeah, I feel good. And then I just fall off the bandwagon. Like, I'm off the rails. Cookies, donuts, everything. And the worst part is, it's like, I always say this, tomorrow. You know, I'll get back on my diet tomorrow. Oh, shoot, I messed up. I had a cookie today. Oh, tomorrow, right? I accidentally forgot that I was on a diet. I got, tomorrow. You know how many times I've heard people say, I'll start praying tomorrow. I'll go to early morning prayer tomorrow. They want, this is what's interesting. See, I want consistent results. But I'm not willing to commit myself consistently to get those results. We want consistent results of the miraculous and power and divine appointments and wisdom, but yet we don't commit ourselves to a consistent prayer life. See, it's a consistent prayer life that produces consistent fruit. If I want to lose weight, it's going to require a consistent life, a consistent diet. And Pastor Daniel right now is preaching. He's saying amen online right now. I can hear him all the way from Missouri preaching. And did I ever tell you guys the story? Did I ever tell you? I just got to tell you guys a story. I'm almost done with my sermon. This is my last point. So I'm going to tell you the story. Pastor Daniel and I are watching each other's sermons back and forth and encouraging each other. Man, that was a good word. That was a good word. And one day as I was, I was battling with some weight at that time, really, really bad. And he calls me, he says, man, that was a great word. But he had this hesitation in his voice. I'm like, but? He says, no, man, it was a great word. And he was hesitant, like I could tell. He wanted to say something. He wanted to say something, but he didn't say something. He's trying to be kind. And he said, no, it was good. And he started telling me some of the points. And I said, but, there's a but, bro. What's going on? He says, all right, I just gotta tell you, man. Bro, that was a great message, but your buttons were screaming. Like, I'm preaching, man, and my buttons are like, ah! He's like, bro, you gotta lose weight, man. The audacity of somebody to tell me. We want consistent miracles, but we don't wanna have to live a holy life. We want consistent miracles, but we don't want the discipline of prayer. And we have to realize that a part of our prayer life, there has to be discipline in prayer. But I want to give you this. It's the grace of prayer. I'll say that again, the grace of prayer. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, there is a grace in prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. There's a grace in prayer. And we have to rely upon the grace of God. Friends, it's His grace that gives you boldness and confidence. It's not my works. It's not my goodness that gives me boldness to come before the Lord. It's His goodness, His grace, and His mercy. See, a lot of people get hindered from prayer because they actually believe that they have to earn the right to pray. Without a consistent prayer life, we're not going to be able to walk in the fullness of what God has for us, the true holiness and righteousness that Christ gave us by His blood. Come on, somebody. But what happens is in our mind, the devil uses condemnation as a tool to try and derail our prayer life. But when we understand the grace of God, that we boldly approach His throne of grace, that it is by the grace and the mercy of God that we can come before Him. We have to understand the position of grace that gives us position. You know, but I need to clarify this though. Can I clarify this? Grace is not a cover up for laziness. See, because I believe that discipline and grace go hand in hand. And a lot of people see grace and interpret grace as a cover up for their mistakes, as a cover up for when they, oh man, I missed it or I didn't do right. No. Grace is not a cover up for laziness. Anybody here growing up, you didn't study for that test, right? You didn't study for the test, but when you showed up that next day, you're like, oh, Jesus, Lord, I pray. And I couldn't even pray, bring back remembrance into remembrance all the things that I studied because I didn't study. And I was like, oh, God, please. Lord, if there was any day that you extended your grace and your mercy to me, do it now, Lord. Guess what? I failed that test every time. Because I wanted to use grace as a cover-up for my laziness. We want to use grace as a cover-up of the need not to pray. Lord, I know I didn't pray today, but you can, by your grace, you just cover that. No. You have to understand the true essence of grace. The true essence of grace is not to cover up our laziness. Grace is that which gives us access and power. Boldly approach His throne of grace. That whole entire passage is referring to the access that we have to God by the grace that was bestowed upon us. Grace is not a cover-up. Grace is what gives you access and gives you power. So we have to rely upon the grace of God in our life. And friends, we have to recognize this morning the call to watch and pray. That the very thing that Jesus told His disciples that day in the garden, disciples, listen up, I need you to wake up. Don't fall asleep right now. I need you to watch and pray. Jesus is saying to us right now, Kings Wasilla, I need you to watch and I need you to pray, because the battle is real and you're gonna get victory. You're gonna see miracles. I've given you access by my grace, access to power, access to my wisdom, access to my word. But you have to watch and pray. There's a surrender of prayer. We have to understand the surrender of prayer, the urgency of prayer, the power of prayer, the discipline of prayer, and the grace of prayer. I want everybody to stand to your feet. And I want to ask you to do something for me. We're going to do two things this morning before we give our resurrection offering, and this is going to be a big deal to me. Number one, I'm going to invite you to do something. Again, don't mistake my devotion as legalism. Don't mistake my commitment as legalism. I'm making a commitment. And the reason why I'm doing this is because there are a lot of people that unless they commit themselves, they'll flounder. And so I'm inviting you to make a strong commitment to pray. Now, I don't know all the happenings of Alaska. I know that there's a pretty good expanse of space between places here. You guys got a lot of land. In Hawaii, we don't have that much land, but we have traffic. And there are people that just because of their jobs and because of other things, they just cannot make it to prayer. And that's why, thank God, we have online prayer. And that's wonderful. But friends, don't use that. Don't use that as an excuse not to come and be here if you can. But I want to ask you to do something. If you are here and you say, Pastor, I can commit to come to early morning prayer 3 times a week. Actually come here physically to the building 3 times a week, 7 a.m., 3 times a week. I'm going to commit to do that for the next 3 months. If you can do that 3 days a week for 3 months, I want you to step out from where you are and I want you to come up here right now. Come on. You say, oh, Pastor, why 3 months? Because it's a proven fact that it takes about that much time to get a discipline in your life and to make it something that's habitual. Come on, just step out from where you are. Now, some of you may say, okay, Pastor, I can't do 3 days a week. Like, that's really a lot. But I can do 2 days a week. If that's you, come on down here. Come on, you can do 2 days a week. You say, I'll commit to 2 days a week. I can do that. I can do that. Come on, step out from where. Now, I know some of you have jobs early in the morning, so I'm not trying. I'm wanting you to step out in faith, because this is right here. There's two things that are happening. Number one, you're making a faith declaration. And number two, I'm going to stretch my hands and pray for you, because you're going to need an anointing. All right, you say, well, Pastor, I can't do 3 days, I can't do two, but I can do 1 day a week for the next 3 months. If that's you, step on out from where you are and come down here. Okay, now, are you ready? Yeah, come on, challenge yourself. I know for some of you, it may mean that you need to reprioritize your life. Now, some of you may not be able to come down here and understand that. Again, I'm not here to condemn you in any way. But you're here, you say, Pastor, I will commit to up my prayer life. I've been complacent in my prayer life, and I know I need to up my prayer time. I need to up my prayer life, and I'm going to devote myself to prayer. Pastor, will you pray for me? If that's you, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come down this altar right now. Quickly. I'm going to devote myself to increase my prayer life. Pastor, pray for me. I want an anointing. I want an actual anointing to pray to increase my prayer life. If that's you, step out from where you are. Now, I want everybody here at this altar to lift your hands to the Lord. I want to lift your hands to the Lord. Because what you're committing to right now is you need the work of the Holy Spirit. You need the help of the Holy Spirit, because you are in a real battle. You're in a battle against the spirit and the flesh. And I'm telling you, there's many times where my flesh has won out. I'm in the middle of a prayer time and my flesh is going, Instagram, Facebook. I've just had to delete it all because I'm tired of the distraction. I want my prayer life to win out. And so with your hands lifted, come on, we're going to pray right now, and we're going to make a commitment. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for a release of a supernatural anointing. Lord, as you release an anointing on Dr. Morocco, as he laid hands on me and released an anointing in my life for prayer, Lord, I stretch my hands out now, and I release a supernatural anointing to pray, to commit themselves in prayer, to the surrender of prayer. Oh, Lord God, to the discipline of prayer, that you would anoint them now. And Lord, I pray miracles. I pray breakthrough, that they're going to see as they commit their lives to prayer. Every single day, there's going to be a shifting. Every single day, Lord God, there's going to be a wisdom release. Greater moments of favor and even divine connections. And I pray that right now. Lord, I pray release upon them in Jesus' name. A powerful anointing to become prayer warriors in the name of Jesus. Now, I want every person here, the second aspect of prayer, and I want you to make a commitment. How many of you say, make this commitment? By show of hands, because there's something distinct, very unique about this church. I've been to many churches that when you need prayer, you know, like you share your heart with somebody, like, I need prayer, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, brother, I'll pray for you, sister. And you never pray for them. I've had to learn in my life, if I'm going to see consistent miracles, then I got to pray for healing. And I want all those to say, Pastor, I'll commit that instead of waiting to pray for someone, hopefully I remember to pray for them, I'm going to pray for them now. Whether you're at, I don't know what you guys have here. What are the stores that you have here? What are the crazy things that you have here? Right? What's that? Kroger's, what do you guys have? I don't know what you guys have. Starbucks, right? Here, even at church, someone comes up to you and says, hey man, I need prayer for something. Pray for them then. We're going to pray for them then. We're going to be an on-demand prayer culture. Amen? An on-demand prayer culture. Because we believe in the power and the effectiveness of prayer. And so if you say you commit to that, now look, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, because the moment you commit to it, guaranteed, you're going to be showing somebody a house. For all you real estate agents, you're going to be showing somebody a house. And I'm like, man, we're struggling with this. You're like, you know what? I can pray for you right here, right now. Let's do it. How many of you will commit to be an on-demand prayer warrior. Come on. Come on, right now, with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, you're at home and the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, you're going to pray right then. Come on, whether it be for your kid or your family member or your church. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, a supernatural anointing to come upon them, a boldness and courage. Now, I want every person that needs a miracle, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on. You need a miracle of healing. You need a miracle of breakthrough right now. Quickly, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Pastors and ministers, I want you to begin to walk through the crowd. As we worship, I want you to begin to walk through the crowd and begin to pray for people right now. Come on, lift your voices. Lift your voices in worship. You need a miracle. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. There's an anointing for healing right now. There's an anointing for breakthrough right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I rebuke every infirmity, every sickness and disease right now in Jesus' mighty name. That person that's been suffering, your left arm goes dead a lot. I even see pain all the way from the back of your shoulder all the way down your arm and your tricep and your elbow. If that's you, just wave at me. Just wave at me. Father, I pray healing right now in the name of Jesus. Supernatural healing be released. I want every person that's having nerve issues down your legs. You have pain down your legs and your nerves. Just wave at me. Wave at me. There's multiple people here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Father, I pray now a release. Every bit of nerve damage, every bit of pain right now in Jesus' name, we rebuke every infirmity. And Lord, we just release by faith the power of Jesus. I want to pray something, and I want you to join me in prayer for this, but I believe there's a miracle being released right now. There are some people here where you have family members, specifically, this is what's in my heart, specifically children that have been suffering with mental illness. And I want you right now, there's an anointing right now for healing in this area. For some of them, and I want you to just hear this, for some of them, it's a legitimate demonic attack. For some, there's some things that are missing within their system and their body. And we're going to pray right now, supernatural healing. Father, I rebuke every lie of the enemy. I rebuke mental illness right now in Jesus' name. And Father, you have the ability to come in your awesome grace and your love and your compassion. Anxiety, fear, depression be broken now in Jesus' name. We take authority over it now. Lord, you gave us permission throughout the scripture that no matter what the situation be, that we can hold every thought captive. There is not one thought that has to escape from us. That, Lord, we can have authority over every thought of anxiety and depression. Lord, every thought, every suicidal thought, I break it now in Jesus' mighty name. We take authority over it now. And Lord, I release your power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, can we just praise the Lord right now? Come on, lift your voice. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Come on, somebody, let's thank Jesus.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.